Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Paul said, I would know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, when he was writing that, he was speaking to the church. Wasn't speaking to the world, but to the church. Paul understood how the cross has to be at the heart, not only of everything we believe, but of everything we do. You see, we want to see more and more people come to the Lord. Now, when people come to the Lord, they don't respond to a message, to a sermon, to a talk. If they're going to come to the Lord, they respond to the cross, to the message of the cross. Because there is no other means of salvation except the cross. But the cross is not just for non-believers. Because Paul also says that through the cross, you are crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to you. So, if we're going to impact the world, if we're going to see the fulfillment of the vision of the call that we heard about on Sunday, the cross has to be at the heart of the way we go about doing that. You see, if the cross is effective in our lives, the cross will become effective in the lives that we want to impact with the gospel. In other words, we reap what we sow. Now, we know that everything has to be by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. That's the Old Testament scripture most commonly quoted in the New Testament. Now, the righteous will live by faith because you are only made righteous by faith. By faith in the cross. By faith in what Jesus has done. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So we're only sons of God by faith, therefore the sons of God live by faith. They live by trust in the Lord. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. See, it's not that we will simply be preaching the cross all the time, talking about the cross all the time, but the cross will be evident in what we preach, in what we do, in the witness that we give. The reason for that is Christians are forever trying to do the Holy Spirit's work for them, for Him. You know, people phone me up, write me letters, and they say, why don't you speak openly and publicly against this, against that, and against the other? And the answer to that is because it won't do any good if I did. Preaching against stuff doesn't accomplish anything. This is the serious mistake that Christians often make when they see there's a social issue, no matter what it is, they want to preach against that issue and start demonstrating about that issue because it makes them feel good, but it doesn't actually accomplish much at all. You see, when you preach the cross, the Holy Spirit convicts people of their sin, no matter what the nature of their sin. You start accusing people of a particular sin and they will immediately become defensive and they will try to justify what they're doing. When the Holy Spirit convicts them, then you don't have to tell them what their sin is. The Holy Spirit shows them what their sin is. And things that before they thought were fine, things that otherwise they would have justified, now they begin to feel guilty, so guilty that they are uncomfortable. So we do our job and leave the Holy Spirit to do His. If you preach the cross, you never have to tell another person what his sin is. The Holy Spirit will uncover that sin and will show the person, to the person, not to you, but to the person himself, and will show him his need of God. Now, you see, great evangelists like Billy Graham, he understood this. So he didn't preach about sin. What he did was he preached the law. He said what God wanted. And then he preached grace. He preached the Old Testament followed by the New Testament. Because you see, when people understand that they can't fulfill the purpose of God in their own strength, then they begin to discover their need of God. You try to convince somebody of their need of God without understanding what God requires of his people, and you'll be fighting a losing battle. What am I saying? What the scripture says, you will never talk somebody into the kingdom. If you've talked somebody into the kingdom, actually their conversion is going to be very, very tenuous. It has to come by repentance and faith. And a person will only repent if he comes under the conviction of sin from the Holy Spirit. Are we there? So, you know, wherever it is that we have opportunity, we want people to respond to Christ. Not so much to a message, but to him and to what he has done, crucified, risen from the dead. Now, if people come to a meeting and they make some kind of first response, that's fine so long as the people that follow up will immediately get them focused on the cross. Not on themselves and their sin, but on the cross. Get them focused on the cross, and then the Holy Spirit will show them that it was their sin that put him there. It's just a matter of understanding God's strategy. Now, everything you see is by faith in the revelation of the truth. And right at the heart of the truth of the new covenant is the cross. So, Paul says here, chapter 3, Galatians, how foolish you Galatians are. Who has cast a spell on you to prevent you from obeying the truth? Now, he's talking to believers. You see, what he is saying is when you allow something in that is not the truth, something negative is going to happen. You allow anything in your thinking that is not the truth. You know, you know that if somebody offends you, you have to forgive. You fail to forgive and something negative is going to come into your life. You know that whatever happens to us, we draw on those inner resources of faith. We're not dependent upon somebody to stimulate our faith from the outside. We put our roots, as we heard the other day, deep into the river of life that flows from the throne of God, and we draw what we need to counteract the negative, because otherwise that negative will begin to influence us. And then when the negative has influenced us, that negative will influence others around us, because we will begin to speak negatively. It's very quiet in here this morning. You understanding?
Yeah.
Okay, so what does the enemy want to do? He wants to prevent you from obeying the truth. Now, notice, obey the truth. He can't prevent you from knowing the truth, but he does want to prevent you from obeying the truth. That's why your favorite word is
obedience.
No, you see, it's not good enough. Your favorite word is
obedience.
It was clearly shown to you that Jesus Christ has won complete acceptance for us when he was crucified. You see, you begin to doubt, to question your acceptance because you're looking at circumstances, feelings, or something else, and you know, these negative things get in. What do you need to do? You need to come right back to the cross. Why? Because the cross is your means of acceptance. Without the cross, you would have no acceptance. And what you need to remember is that all those around you have that full acceptance because of their faith in the cross. And if God has given them full acceptance and you don't, who's in trouble? Not God. Not the other person. That only leaves one other alternative. Okay. So I want you to tell me this. Did you receive the Spirit through obeying the religious law or by responding with faith when you heard the truth about Jesus Christ? Greek is a clever language. You can actually give the answer in the way that you ask the question. The way you begin the sentence when you ask the question. So, inevitably, the answer is by obeying the truth. By hearing the truth. Are you really so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now trying to be made perfect through your self-effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing if all that has been accomplished is more self-effort? So what's he saying? Every day you trust in the cross. Every day you live in the victory of the cross. Every day. See, God's mercies are new for us as Christians every day because of the cross. His healing is available to us every day because of the cross. His victory over the enemy is ours every day because of the cross. So we can never lose sight of the cross. We can never get away from the cross. What the world needs is the gospel, which is the good news of what God has accomplished on the cross and then through his resurrection, overcoming even death itself. Verse 4, so did the one who gave you the Spirit and who worked miracles among you do so because of your obedience to religious rules and regulations or because you responded with faith when you heard the truth? Now you see, what Paul is saying to them is listen to the truth. Never get away from the truth. Walk in the truth. Remember, John said, it gives me great joy to see my children, my spiritual children, walking in the truth. Amen. And Jesus said, if you continue in my word, continue in my word, continue to live in my word, continue to walk in my word, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. The truth is our motivation to see the call of God fulfilled. It was great to have that call just extrapolated as it was on Sunday, so people, everybody could see blow by blow what is really involved. And of course, it's not going to happen if people don't go in the name of Jesus. But we go in the power of the cross. We go in the revelation of the truth. So, if we go to Colossians chapter 3, easy to put these two scriptures together, Galatians 3, Colossians 3. You have been raised with Christ. Amen. To share in his risen life. Now, why? Well, if we look at verse 3, you died with Christ. Amen. You died with Christ. Remember what Paul said in his personal testimony in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. You died with Christ. You died. Now, you see, that is the very thing that the enemy wants you to disbelieve. That you have not really died. So he tries to stir up all the flesh stuff, all the self stuff, all the soulish stuff, to try to convince you that you have not been crucified with Christ, you have not died, that there is still all kinds of stuff that has to be put to death in your life. Well, Paul says that you put to death what is not of God because you've died. Now, you see, the enemy is trying to get you to think that actually you're not really a new creation, because you can only be a new creation if the first creation died. And we know that our water baptism was the funeral service of our natural life. That we are dead, Paul says in Romans, we are dead and lay buried with Christ. It's not just that we've died, but we have been buried with Christ. The old has gone and the new has come. So I can remember some years ago, there was a particular issue that was really niggling in my life. I can't even remember what it was now. But, you know, it was something I was praying about, and I was getting really frustrated because this thing was persisting, and it was just annoying. It was one of those annoying things. You know how the enemy is worse than a nagging wife. He just keeps on and on and on and on. I haven't got a nagging wife, but I can't imagine what it would be like to have a nagging wife. It must be the next thing to hell. But the enemy is worse than a nagging wife. He just goes on and on and on and on. And I can remember I was in my study I was just walking up and down and praying about this issue. And very politely, God said to me, shut up and sit down. So I did, and he just said to me, he didn't say, you idiot. I think he was probably thinking it, but he knows that from his word that you're not supposed to say that, so he didn't say it to me. He just said, you died. And I thought, I've been preaching this to him. That issue isn't an issue. I've been praying about it and nothing's been happening, because nothing can happen, because the issue isn't an issue because I've died. Now, what Paul says is that you reckon yourself as dead. That it's not effective if you don't reckon yourself as dead. Okay, I've died. My life is now hidden with Christ in God. My old life can't be hidden with Christ in God. Only the new creation that I am can be hidden with Christ in God. So God has liberated me from all the old stuff. I don't have to fight it. I just have to say, I'm dead to all that. Thank you very much, Satan. You are dismissed.
Come on.
Take all your nagging with you.
Come on. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Isn't it good there's no nagging wives in Kingdom Faith? Do you know that proverb? It is better to sit on the corner of the roof than to live with a nagging wife. I think it was either Sweden or Norway, one of the others once. And because of the snow, you know, they have these very, very steeply pitched roofs. And I was walking along one day and I saw this guy sitting on the corner of his roof. And I thought, man, what kind of a wife has he got? Because, I mean, in Scripture they were flat roofs. So, you know, you could be in a corner of a flat roof. But this guy, it was like that. And he was sitting on the corner. I thought, poor man, I'll pray for him. Anyway, this is not a word about nagging wives. Hallelujah. Trouble with nagging wives is they don't realize they've died. I didn't get an amen. I should have got an amen from everybody. So you see, you have to reckon yourself dead. Who knows that the enemy can't deceive you with what is dead if you reckon it dead? This is why Paul says, I have died. Not just a few issues in my life have died. I can see some of you women are thinking, what about nagging husbands? Leave it alone. You see, Paul says, I have died. That very religious man that was brought up under the law, that very religious man that was doing everything possible in his own strength to please God and failing, actually ending up by doing the very opposite of what God intended, that man no longer lives. And the person you were no longer lived. Now, the new creation is Christ in you. Who are you really now? You are you with Christ in you. You are you in Christ and you with Christ in you. That's who you are. What is your real personality? Christ in you. So you see, when you go to fulfill God's call, the vision, whatever it is God is wanting you to do out there in the world, you go as one who is in Christ and Christ in you. You don't go in your own weakness. You don't go in your own fear and in your own inadequacy. You go in the name of Jesus Christ because you are in Him and He is in you. And you take the message of Christ crucified and risen from the dead. Are we there? So let's just read this. You have been raised with Christ to share in His risen life. You can't share in His risen life unless you've died. See, the only way to the risen life is through the cross. You can only be raised with Christ if you've been crucified with Christ. Yes. Say, I have been crucified with Christ.
I have been crucified with Christ.
It's good news, isn't it?
Yes.
So set your heart on heavenly things. Now, he doesn't mean be otherworldly, so that you're no earthly use. He means let your thinking transcend the natural thinking. Think expansively, think spiritually, think supernaturally. Think of where you belong. Seated at the right hand, seated in heavenly places with the Lord. Seated in heavenly places. It's where you belong. Not where you will belong, it's where you do belong. Now you see, there's no enemy in heavenly places. He got booted out long time ago. And he hasn't got any way back. He's been disarmed by the cross. Any believers in the room? So, I mean, he's around and we have to overcome him, but who knows, it's easy. If you've got spiritual weapons that are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, and he's got no weapons because he's being disarmed.
That's it.
I mean, who is going to win? Yes.
Come on. Yes, yes.
You see, because he's got no arms, all he's got now is a mouth. So if you believe what he says, you're a sucker. Aren't you?
Come on.
I'm not allowed to say thou fool, but you're a sucker if you believe what he says. Yes. Uh-huh. And he just sows those little thoughts. And if you accept them, because you don't take the shield of faith against them, he's sown a negative. And if you receive one negative, he'll sow another, and then another, and then another. And before you know where you are, you have got a wrong mentality, at least in one area of your life. Okay. You need to have heavenly thinking and not be restricted by mere worldly thoughts. Because you died with Christ, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Because he is your life, you will appear with him in glory when he comes again. So you're in a good place. Amen? Freedom now and glory to come. That sound all right to you? But it's because you have died. Now, you don't die by keep telling yourself that you're deaded. You know, I've died. Because you go on like that and the enemy knows you don't really believe it. What has died cannot live. Apart from that which is raised in Christ, of course. But then no negatives were raised in Christ. So that which has died cannot live. So all those negatives that were you died with you when you were crucified with Christ.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
You're believing again, aren't you, Joanna? Yeah, you keep doing it there. Not a bad habit. Anybody else believe it?
Come on. Yes. Yes.
You see, we are believers.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
All God's purposes are fulfilled by faith. The only thing that matters is faith working through love. So isn't it good to know that you don't have to fight what is dead? You see, this is why some of you have heard me. I don't like this prayer, change me, Lord. Because he didn't die on the cross to change you, but to exchange you. To replace your life with his life. It's not so much that you need to be changed, it's just that you need to live in the revelation of what he has done for you on the cross, and because you now are raised with him, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You just need to believe that. You just need to actually be living in the revelation of that. Then you will walk in victory over the negatives. Are we getting it? And of course, because this is what we are to do, this is what we teach others to do. This, when we disciple people, we're going to disciple them through the cross. We're not going to take them back into their past lives and say, oh, you know, Jesus was with you when this happened to you and that happened to you and all that nonsense. You just have to say, it's dead. You've died. It's gone. It's finished. It's past. It no longer exists. Hallelujah. Now you are a new creation. So you can no longer excuse yourself. Oh, well, you see, it was because of my upbringing. Your upbringing began the day you were born again. You are now being raised in Christ. He is your new upbringing. Never mind about the old upbringing. You know, people say, oh, I can't relate to God as my father because I had such a terrible experience of my human father. Listen, I had a wonderful human father, but he was nothing like God the Father. Doesn't matter how good or how bad your father is, that's got nothing to do with the fatherhood of God. The fatherhood of God began when you were a child. And let me tell you, God your father has never done a negative or destructive thing in your life ever since he became your father. Even when he disciplines you, it's always for your good and it's always done in love.
Come on.
And the wonderful thing is that God the Father is raising you up as his child.
Come on.
That's got no relationship to who you used to be.
That's it. Yeah, very good.
You've been set free from all of that stuff.
Yeah.
If it was negative. Right. If it was positive, you can thank God and move on to higher things. Yeah. Because God the Father is much better than the best ever possible human father.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Kubrasa tu bakarasita ba. Now, just one more thing that we need to get hold of this morning. God has said to us that the kingdom will only advance, and that's our purpose, isn't it? See the kingdom advance? The kingdom will only advance in power. And there are two ways in which that power will actually be manifested, through the power of the cross and the power of the Spirit. The power of the cross that has dealt with every negative, the power of the Spirit that inputs every positive. The cross and the Spirit. So this message of the cross is essential to seeing the power of God released in your life. It's not just depending upon the Holy Spirit. It's both. The power of the cross to deal with the negative, the power of the Spirit to input the positive. This is why Jesus said, "The time has come, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, turn away from all the negative, and believe all the positive."
Right.
Believe the good news. So that's the only way. And what you see in the ministry of Jesus, what you see in the Acts of the Apostles, what you see in the letters of Paul and the others, is this same principle of the cross and the Spirit, the cross and the Spirit, the cross and the Spirit. Dead and raised to new life. Dead and raised to new life. Dead and raised to new life. Now, this has to become your way of thinking.
Absolutely.
I am a new creation. There's a chorus we used to sing a few years ago. I am a new creation. No more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand. It was a great chorus.
Yeah.
I think some of those choruses, they were very simple, but my goodness, people got hold of the truth more than some of the long, involved songs that we sing these days. You know, you keep singing things like that over and over again. And it impacts you. Here in the grace of God I stand. No more in condemnation, because I've died. You know, they might be musically naive, but they're spiritual dynamite, some of those old songs. But it's the truth that they proclaim. That's what we've got to get hold of, whether we sing it or not. We've got to get hold of the truth. I am a new creation. Not I will be, or I need to become, or I need to be changed into. I am a brand new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. I am no more in condemnation. I'm not going to listen to any of those negative, condemning, accusing, lying thoughts that come from the enemy. I'm not going to give voice to them. I'm not going to accept them. I'm going to take the shield of faith whenever they come. They're just the fiery darts of the evil one that have absolutely no place in my life. They bounce off my shield of faith. I will not. You see, if you verbalize them, you've already accepted them. And then you've got to have a purifying of your heart. Because you've let it into your heart, and the heart has to be purified to get rid of it. Are you there? So praise God, we're a victorious people. Not just because we know how to shout and holler and get all excited, but simply because we have died. And we are now a new creation. The person you are bears no relation to the person you used to be. That's good news. And there's no turning back. There's no looking back. There's no going back. You're moving forward. It's kingdom advance. So it's kingdom advance in the power of the truth, of the cross and the Spirit.
Yes.
Now you see, you live in the good of that, and you will live in spiritual freedom. And if you live in spiritual freedom, you will be so much more effective in setting other people free. Hallelujah. The more you live in freedom yourself, the more you will impact others. Not just to come to the Lord, but to be healed, to be delivered, to be set free. You will be effective. Because you will actually be able to exercise the spiritual authority that God has given you. I'm going to be talking to the first years about your spiritual authority later this morning in your faith lecture. Yes. Now sort the men from the boys. Praise God.
Yes.
Because God wants us to be a people of authority. But you see, how can you exercise authority to speak and act in the name of Jesus if you're listening to the negatives that come from the enemy?
Yes.
I mean, when you think about it, makes sense, doesn't it? That you're only going to advance if you recognize that all that other stuff is behind you.
Yes.
And that's the thing about your past. Your past is behind you.
That's it.
Yes.
Come on.
You see, a psychiatrist will say that you are the product of the sum total of your experiences. That might be true in the natural, but it's not true in the supernatural. In the supernatural, you are who you are in the experience of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That cancels out all the previous stuff and makes you a free person.
Come on.
So praise God. Amen. See, it's not counseling that people need as the second years of learning. It's the truth that they need. When you give them the truth, the word does the work. All we need to learn is how to communicate the truth. And the second year is having a bit of fun at present with that. We're discovering that we're not so good at it because, you know, you can spend a whole year listening and absorbing the truth, but when you have to communicate it, that's another ball game. But this is the important thing. What's the good of having the truth if you don't know how to communicate the truth?
Very good.
That's right. So we're all called to be communicators. Amen? Because it's the truth that does the work. It's the word that does the work. It's what God has done on the cross. It's what he's accomplished through his resurrection that enables us to live in complete freedom. So let's all stand. We're going to do some head lopping. I love head lopping. You know, you cut the heads of a few demons off. You don't just rebuke them, cut the heads off so they can't go and worry anybody else. Is that all right? It's nice to have somebody whose head you're allowed to cut off. I'm convinced the only reason why the Lord allowed the devil to exist is that you need someone to exercise all your aggression on. You're not allowed to be aggressive to other people. So it's good to have somebody that you can kick in the head every now and again and get rid of all your inner frustrations. Lop a few demons' heads off and say, yeah, that's better, come on. Well, it's much better to lop their heads off than listen to them.
It's true.
Okay, close your eyes, lift your hands, just begin to praise God for a moment. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Come on, thank the Lord that he died for you. He poured out his lifeblood for you. Oh, hallelujah. And thank him that you died with him. That when he went to the cross, he didn't only take your sin, he took you. He put you to death. Hallelujah. Oh, rasatapa karazitoba. Just thank him that you have died. You have died. It is no longer that old person you used to be that lives. Oh, what a relief. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All those negatives died with you. Then you were born again. You became a child of God. Hallelujah. God became your father. Oh, hallelujah. Everything about your new life was good and wholesome and holy and perfect and positive. Hallelujah. Thank him that in this new life, Christ is in you. He is your new life. Scripture says he is your life. Hallelujah. And he's given you the fullness of life, and he's living in you with all his positives, with all his goodness, with all his love, with all his grace, with all his mercy, with all his power. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. Purata parazata bakaya. Orata parazata parazita risatuba. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus.
Purayala Wonderful Jesus. Oh, wonderful Lord. Now, if the enemy's been having a go at lies, you just come against those lies right now. You say, Lord, forgive me for listening to any of that stuff. And I just take the shield of faith now. And you just come against those lying, deceiving spirits. Come on, lop their heads off. Say, I just come against you. You are defeated. You have no control over my life. You get lost now. You never come back. You never return. Those are not truths about me. The word of God speaks the truth about me. You demons, you devils, you never ever speak the truth. You're liars. You're lying, deceiving spirits. And I'm not listening to you. I'm not listening to any thoughts that you try to sow into my heart and mind. You are a defeated foe. Get lost. Come on, you've got to do it. I can't do it for you. You've got to do it for yourself. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not believing any of those negatives. They are not the truth about who I am. I'm not going to believe that I am who I was. I'm not who I was. I'm who I am. Oh, God hasn't called the one I was to serve him. He's called the one I am to serve him. His purpose is going to be fulfilled through who I am, not through who I was. Oh, come on, Jesus. Come on, Master. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Lord. I bless you. I praise you. I magnify you. Thank you for the victory, Lord. Thank you for the victory of the cross. Thank you for the victory of your blood. Thank you that you overcame every demon. Thank you that you disarmed all the principalities and powers that are ranged against you. Thank you, Lord. I only have a disarmed opponent now. I only have a disarmed enemy. And thank you, Lord, that you have armed me with the spiritual weapons that are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. I thank you, Lord, that the enemy will have no stronghold in my thinking. He'll have no stronghold in my life whatsoever. And I'm going to pull down the strongholds in other people's lives as I minister to them in the power of the cross, in the power of the truth of God's word, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, come on, Jesus. Come on, mighty Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, now the Lord, the devil has been lying to some of you about your sicknesses, your infirmities, whatever they are, allergies and things that have gone on in your life for years. You see, what does the cross say? The cross say, well, you are healed. Now, that's in the past tense. So there's no question as to whether God wants to do it or anything like that, because he's done it. It's part of your inheritance. It's for you to appropriate, even if it requires a miracle. See, did God work miracles among you, Paul asks, because you obeyed the law or because you believed the word of truth? So you can get all religious, come here every 8 o'clock because you have to. That's obeying the law of Rafi. But you see, is God going to do a miracle because you've obeyed the law of Rafi and come here, or because you believe the truth? Are you there? Well, I'll give you one guess as to which the right answer is. Thank you, Jesus. Now, listen, listen, listen. You are a man or woman of faith. Why? Because He crucified you with him. He has made you righteous, and you've only been made righteous because you believed. And the righteous live by faith. You are a son of God. You're a child of God by faith. So don't listen to the liar saying you don't have enough faith for your healing. You only need faith the size of a mustard seed, and mountains will be moved. You see, it's time to stop believing the doubts, stop believing the circumstances, stop believing the enemy. It's time to believe God. It's time to begin to say, I have been. Not I haven't been, or I might be, or I will. I have been. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been set free. By his stripes, I have been healed. Hallelujah. It's mine, my inheritance, to appropriate by faith, and I'm a person of faith. Otherwise, I wouldn't be a Christian, and I wouldn't be a child of God. So I am a person of faith. He has come to live in me by my spirit to actually guarantee my inheritance as a Christian and to verify, yes, you are a believer, because my spirit couldn't live in you if you were not. So thank the Lord you are a believer. Come on, say, I'm a believer. Now you're a believer in the cross. Come on, this is what God really wants to unpack for us this morning. I'm a believer in the cross. I'm a believer in everything Jesus accomplished on the cross. I believe all my sins are forgiven because of what he did on the cross. I believe my sicknesses are healed because of what he did on the cross. I believe the enemy that comes against me is disarmed because of what he did on the cross. I believe that every negative that could ever afflict me in any way has been overcome by the power of the cross. That's what I believe. Hallelujah. 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 Puta parazatapaya. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I believe in the power of the resurrection. That God put me to death, but he raised up an entirely new and different person. Come on, come on. It's too quiet. You need to be thanking God for that. You have been raised. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. A sinner's life is not hidden with Christ in God. A righteous person, a son of God, a child of God, that's whose life is now hidden with Christ in God. And you can say, that is who I am. My life is now hidden with Christ. I'm one with Christ in God. I live in him. He lives in me. In him I live and move and have my being. Hallelujah. Sarata parazata bakaya. Paparazata bakarazito di satuba. Ho. Karata paria letu bakarazito ba. Come on, let's praise him. Let's really praise him. Hallelujah. Borata parazato bakarazito ba. I know no defeat. There can be no defeat for me. No defeat. As I put my faith in what Jesus did, crucified and raised from the dead, then there is no defeat for me. Only victory. Hallelujah. Puparazataya. Now thank him that you go out in the victory. You see, you are an ambassador of the victory. That's why when the Holy Spirit is addressing the churches in Asia Minor in Revelation 2 and 3. He who is victorious, he who overcomes, he who is victorious will inherit the crown of life and all the rest of the wonderful promises. But in every letter, it's he who is victorious. Just thank him that you're one of those victorious ones. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Sotapara zata bakarazitoba. Listen, you are even more victorious than Arsenal, because Arsenal win one and then lose one. Well, you're even more victorious than Arsenal. That should make you absolutely swing from the chandeliers, because there's no defeat for you. Hallelujah. Come on, there's no defeat. Believe it. There's no defeat. There's no defeat. In all things, God works for my good. And God cannot be defeated. He is working for my good. Because I trust in his victory, he works for my good. So just thank the Lord that he's working in you for your good. Now thank him for his victory in the lives that you're going to touch. Wherever God sends you, wherever God puts you. Now, I want you to ask the Lord to make you an effective communicator of the truth. That you so understand the victory of the cross that you can teach others to understand it. That you so understand the glory of the new life that is yours in Christ, that you will enable, that you'll be able to teach others this. You will be able to disciple them and mentor them and cause them to grow in the truth. In your life groups, you know the purpose of the life groups is to unpack the keynote address and apply it to your lives, so you can work at that this morning. Give some personal testimony of how the truth has set you free, how you are getting hold of this revelation that you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Explore ways of how to communicate this truth to others. Very simply, it's got to be simple. There's nothing complicated about it. The only trouble is, you see, you can't believe it with the reason. It makes no sense to say, well, I was crucified 2,000 years before I was born. To the reason, that is nonsense. To the person of the Spirit, it's revelation that is liberating. So that's not the revelation you give to someone before they're born again, but once they are born again. There's other aspects of the cross that people need in order to be born again. But you're living in the full revelation of everything that God has done for you. Hallelujah. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Lord. Hallelujah. Santo parasita palatuba. You see, we want to see the tide turned in a godless society. That won't happen by us telling the society that it's godless, but by people seeing that they're godless.
because the cross is preached and the Holy Spirit begins to bring them under conviction of their need of God. Hallelujah. Oh, wonderful. It's wonderful because the persecution is increasing in this country. And, you know, just about anybody can say anything they like except Christians at present. So that's good. Hallelujah. That's the kind of atmosphere to really preach the truth. I'm serious because, you see, you know, people say, oh, we can't say this and we can't say that. Well, you don't need to. If you preach the truth, you don't need to say all those stuff. You don't need to say this is sinful, that's sinful, the other's sinful. You don't need any of that. Just preach the truth and people will see what is sinful. Just preach the cross and people will see for themselves because the Holy Spirit will show them their need of God. I mean, all these restrictions aren't really restrictions. They're just the Lord enabling Christians to focus on the truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Your freedom hasn't been eroded. You still have the freedom to preach the gospel. You still have the freedom to preach Christ, to preach the cross, to preach the resurrection of Jesus, to preach in the power of the Holy Spirit. Nobody can prevent you from doing miracles in the name of Jesus. See, the enemy wants to focus people on the negative, but you just keep focusing on the positive. Just do your business. Hallelujah. You're an ambassador of the truth. You're an ambassador of God's word. So just pray right now that God will make you an effective communicator of the truth. Oh, hallelujah. Purtabara zatabari letuba. Yes. Then just lift your hands and say, Lord, I believe now for a fresh anointing from your Spirit that is going to make me a more effective communicator of the truth, that your Holy Spirit of truth will speak through me, will work through me in ways that I've never seen before, that I will somehow have your wisdom, that you will give me words to speak when I have the opportunity to share the truth with others. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to open up further opportunities for me. Wherever you put me, those who are around me, I give you glory, I give you honor and praise. I bless you, Jesus. Satu bukarazitapa. Paratapari eleto bukarazitapa. Are you getting it? Are you receiving it? See? See, Jesus says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe it, you have received it. It's not a feeling or an emotion. Lord, I believe now that I have received an anointing that I didn't have when I came into this room. That you have released something fresh in my life today. Hallelujah. Now, let's just pray for everybody in Kingdom Faith, not only in the church here, but all the churches that relate to us, that we as God's people will be effective in preaching the gospel, in living the gospel, in taking the gospel out into the world, in the love of Jesus. Come on, let's just pray for this. Hallelujah. Every single one. That every believer is going to find a new fulfillment because of the way in which God uses him or her. They're going to get excited at what they see God doing. Come on now. Come on. Jesus. You are the Lord. You are the King. You are the Savior. I bless you. I praise you. I exalt you. What a mighty God we serve.
What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Puparazata paria zato bakarazitoba. Baparazata bakarazitoba. Oh, paparazitoba. You know, one of the ways in which Jesus is described in Scripture is captain of the Lord of hosts. Amen. And those of you who've been around Kingdom Faith for years and years will remember Harry Westcott. And he had this little rhyme that he used to get everybody to say, I know no defeat, I know no defeat, for Jesus is my captain, and I know no defeat. Come on, let's all say it. I know no defeat. I know no defeat. For Jesus is my captain, and I know no defeat. I know no defeat. I know no defeat. For Jesus is my captain, and I know no defeat. Right, now we're going to say it again, but this time with conviction. We're not going to just say it for the sake of saying it. But I know no defeat. Amen. Can you not see that if you are in Christ and Christ is in you, you're invincible? So long as you trust in Him. Not in yourself, but so long as you trust Him. Come on, let's do it again. I know no defeat. I know no defeat. For Jesus is my captain, and I know no defeat. I know no defeat. I know no defeat. For Jesus is my captain, and I know no defeat. Who believes it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. And you see, you're numbered among that host. The host is a whole lot of people, isn't it? In heaven and on earth. He's the Lord of hosts. The NIV says the Lord Almighty, but actually what the original says is the Lord of hosts. I like the Lord of hosts. Amen. Come on, just lift your hands. Thank Him He's the Lord of hosts as we finish. Praise you, Jesus. You are the Lord of hosts. You have such a mighty army in heaven and on earth. And we praise you that we shall persevere and we shall overcome. We shall be victorious. Hallelujah. Because you are our captain. The Lord of hosts is your name. Praise you, Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.